The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Before we get into the episode, it's almost time to wrap up the year, and our sister podcast, WSJ's Take on the Week, wants to take on your questions. Whatever you've been wondering about the economy, companies, stocks, bonds, or markets in general, WSJ's Take on the Week wants to know. Send a note or a voice memo recording to takeontheweek@wsj.com or leave a voicemail at 212-416-3489. Your question may be included in their special end-of-the-year episode. Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 12th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We often talk about money, real money, how to manage it, how to make more of it. But what if your actual job was to make fake money and you were surrounded by piles of it? How would it impact your feelings about cash?
Just accumulating money in and of itself is probably not a great goal. The people I talked to were saying that you should start looking at money as a tool. It's something that you'd want to have a plan for using to make you happier if you're thinking about what to do next.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
What can fake money teach us about managing the real thing? Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker spoke to owners of companies in the very real business of producing fake currency. So, Joe, what is this fake money used for?
The companies that I talk to, they're primarily producing fake cash for television and film productions. So they're making money essentially as a prop. And one of the businesses that I was in touch with, they've made money that has appeared on screen in a Fast and Furious movie and TV shows like Billions.
Is it just entertainment companies that make use of this money?
That's sort of the main part of these companies' businesses. But the funny thing is that they said there are all sorts of other types of customers who end up reaching out to them. One of them said that they end up selling prop money to banks for training purposes. Another said that everyday people actually kind of like to buy fake cash just to put on their desk as a sort of inspiration for success. There really are a lot of uses out there.
How do they alter the details on the fake money so it still looks real when we see it on TV or in a movie?
This is an important feature. These businesses want to be careful and make sure that their money isn't regarded as counterfeit currency. So they make some tweaks to visual details. For instance, they change the portraits of the founding fathers, like Benjamin Franklin. His face is slightly different. And they will also put on text that says, for motion picture use only. Things that would distinguish it from real money if somebody's holding it in their hand and looking at it, but that might not be noticed on screen.
These companies produced literally piles of fake cash. How have they noticed the effect just the sight of that amount of fake cash has on people?
Yeah, this was one thing that I was really interested in when I was working on this story, because I think a lot about the effect that money has on people. And I thought that these people would have such an interesting insight into that effect. Probably the best person to answer that is a guy named RJ Rappaport from Atlanta. He has a prop company and they make a lot of fake money for movies and TV shows. And he said that in his offices, they have a room that workers call the money room. It's basically 20 feet of shelving with money in all sorts of forms. He's listed out stacks, bundles, cubes, rolls, all sorts of things. And he said that uniformly, the reaction that people have when they walk in is they burst out laughing. It's just an overwhelming, emotional, joyful, sort of hilarious reaction.
It's almost like something out of a gangster movie.
Yeah, it's something that we don't encounter in real life very often, and all this prop money ends up looking so realistic at a distance that it's surreal.
Now, how do these business owners you spoke with say the fake cash influences the way that they see real money?
One of the more interesting reactions is the idea that when you sort of encounter this cash all the time, even if it's fake, it starts to make even real money look less valuable or like it has inherent value. It draws your attention to how money is just paper and ink at the end of the day anyway. And what's interesting also is the sort of next step of money wisdom that you can derive from that, which is that just accumulating money in and of itself is probably not a great goal. The people I talk to are saying that you should start looking at money as a tool. It's something that you'd want to have a plan for using to make you happier if you're thinking about what to do next.
So as the saying goes, money isn't everything.
Absolutely. That's definitely something that these prop money makers have learned from their years of working with the fake stuff.
How did it change the way that they manage their money?
One of the more interesting uses for fake money that I heard of off camera is that one guy who runs one of these businesses says that he actually uses the prop cash to do his own personal budgeting. He uses it as a sort of visual aid where he'll make stacks of fake cash and be able to measure how tall is this savings pile looking or how much am I putting towards groceries each month. And he says that this has actually helped him. There's something more impactful to him about looking at the actual physical stacks of cash rather than looking at the numbers on screen. He even said that this has helped him put more money into savings. He looked at the savings stack and said to himself, I want this one to be a little bit taller.
Don't we all?
Absolutely. Fake or real?
You know, I wonder if these guys ever wind up with some fake money accidentally mixed up with real money in their wallets.
Yeah, this money ends up looking pretty convincing. So it's definitely something that happens. One guy I spoke with said that there are times where he'll take cash out of his pocket and before he hands it over, he'll just give it a second look to make sure it's not the fake thing.
It seems like there's an interesting juxtaposition here. These companies produce hundreds of millions of dollars of fake currency, and yet many people today hardly ever use cash to make purchases anymore.
It's really interesting to think about what physical paper money actually means to people these days. It obviously still has a lot of symbolic power just as a visual icon. Most US dollars aren't in physical form, and as far as what we actually come into contact with on a daily basis, we don't actually touch much of the money that we spend. I wouldn't necessarily advocate for renouncing digital money and conducting all of your transactions in cash, but it is certainly interesting to think about how we approach money differently when it's in physical form versus a number on a screen.
That's WSJ reporter Joe Pinsker. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with Stanford University economist Nicholas Bloom to discuss the biggest winners and losers in the work-from-home debate this year. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.